The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yo, yo, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. John Marks from Sports Radio 94 WIP will join us coming up 20 minutes from now. And you could always hear Sean on the weekends. That is the Saturday into Sunday weekend overnight, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern. Obviously, our guy Hot Take Hickey does Friday into Saturday on the 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time overnight, and you could always give Hickey a call and make sure when you call him, you just say, hey, Hot Take Hickey, how you doing? And then answer the question that he's asking. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and doing his weekly interview, and a lot of conversation has come out of this audio clip.
Do I still think I can play? Of course. Of course. Can I play at a high level? Yeah. The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Right situation, is that Green Bay or is that somewhere else? I'm not sure. But I don't think you should shut down any, you know, opportunity. Like I said, during the season, it's got to be, you know, both sides, you know, like actually wanting, you know, to work together moving forward. And I think there's, you know, more conversation to be had. I think no player wants to be part of any type of rebuild. I said that years ago. Reloads are a lot of fun because you feel like you're close. You're only a couple guys away.
I heard a lot of I in there. And the weird part is as well, usually when you hear quarterbacks talk about themselves, it's, yeah, I expect that we could win a Super Bowl here. Or I still think we could win a Super Bowl here. Clearly Rodgers doesn't think that's the case. Now, you can't argue the last 3 years he played a big role in getting them in a position to be the number one seed and be as dominant as they were in the regular season when you win back-to-back MVPs. But the last 3 years, when the seasons have concluded, you look at home against Tampa Bay, three and out, when down by five, then down by eight, he stalled. Didn't always get the blame, though, on Aaron Rodgers. That one was really more Matt LaFleur taking that one on the chin. Then, the following year against San Francisco, they had a touchdown right out of the gate, but they didn't score since that against the Niners. And when he had a chance late, he went for the home run ball to Devontae Adams when he had Alan Lazard wide open. But people made excuses on the special teams for that. And then this past year, I know the team was not good. I know that they gave a great run at the end of the year to get them back in position to maybe make the playoffs. But the final week of the season, even with how bad of a year that you guys had in Green Bay, you had a golden opportunity to get in the postseason. And who knows, once you get an invite into the dance and you're invited to the prom, maybe you get to go home with the prom queen. Maybe you could have got to the Super Bowl this year. I wouldn't have expected it. But you look at the Packers. He has no respect for Rodgers, has no respect for the Detroit Lions, and the Lions walked in there and defeated Green Bay, where the offense was miserable. So Aaron Rodgers is someone that he's confusing and he's also frustrating, but he's also one of the all-time greats. Like, this guy is going to Canton, Ohio for the Pro Football Hall of Fame the moment he retires. He has done some things on the football field like we've never seen before. But with that being said, and I know some people roll their eyes, only one Super Bowl. When you win a Super Bowl that early in your career and you have four MVP awards and you don't get back to another Super Bowl, it's not a good look. And at this stage of his career, I know what Rodgers later on in the interview talked about, still the chase to go get another Super Bowl. He won't come back if he doesn't have another opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I don't really buy that. I don't. Because I think Rodgers, where you hear him say right away, I still think I could be an MVP in this league. I think his main focus is that and his personal image rather than trying to go get that other Super Bowl. Like, I would never, I've never heard Tom Brady, and I know that's the GOAT standard, talk about winning MVP. I've never heard him giving a rat's ass about winning an MVP or even mentioning the MVP. But Aaron Rodgers seems like he talks a lot more about the MVPs than going out there and winning the Super Bowl. And if you're just saying, oh, it's some bloviating jackass on the radio going after Aaron Rodgers, I don't usually attack Aaron Rodgers. I've said for the last 2-3 years that he's going to stay in Green Bay. I thought they were going to have a good season this year. I thought they were going to make the playoffs this year. I thought they would have a legit shot in what I thought was a weak NFC before the season to go to the Super Bowl, even without Davante Adams. But that team failed miserably this year. And the juice really isn't worth the squeeze right now with Aaron Rodgers, because even when he's winning back-to-back MVP awards, what did it win you? What did it win you as a team? Embarrassing postseason performances. So I've been leading the charge the last 2 years that Rodgers is going to stay. And this year, I still think he's going to stay in Green Bay. But after hearing those comments, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, I think that's like the moment where the light bulb goes off. We're not going to win another Super Bowl with this guy. We don't know what this guy is focused on. And if you think you can't win another Super Bowl with him, not that I'm telling you Jordan Love's going to be great, but if this is going to end in another year or two, maybe you cut bait now and trade him and actually get something. I don't know what Rodgers would require back via a trade, but get something that you could tangibly hold on to and draft next year rather than what? Next year, maybe you improve by going to the playoffs? But I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl next year. So I give a lot of credit actually to Rob Gronkowski. Because once again, you could just be listening to this saying, oh, this is just a talk show host. What does he know about football? What does he know about winning? What does he know about a Super Bowl? Gronk, one of the best tight ends you'll ever see. Going to Canton, Ohio. Multiple championships. Played with the greatest quarterback ever. Knows the mentality of what it takes from the GOAT at that position. And Rob Gronkowski says Aaron Rodgers focused on the wrong thing. This courtesy of the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams.
He said, do I think I can still play? Of course. Can I play at a high level? The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Is the right situation in Green Bay or somewhere else? I'm not sure. I don't think you should shut down any opportunities. I think there's more conversations to be had. What's your take on that?
I'm totally fine with everything he said, except one major part, and that's the MVP again. It's just that I think I could win another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then that would have been totally fine. Like, bro, like, why are you thinking MVP? Like, don't you want Super Bowls? Like, Super Bowls are I think, 5 times greater than an MVP award. Like, we all know that you won the MVP a few times now, but, like, you know, everyone would know even more how many more Super Bowls you've won than MVP. So that's why I'm just a little confused about that, you know, about that quote that he just had. I mean, it should be Super Bowls.
Hickey, Gronk is exactly right. Like, do you ever hear anyone say how many MVPs Tom Brady has? You know, do you ever hear about the individual awards of a Joe Montana or a John Elway? Like, you're talking about some of the greatest quarterbacks. The greatest quarterbacks of all time get referred to in Super Bowls. Like, even Peyton Manning, who didn't have the greatest postseason career, but still won 2 Lombardi trophies. Like, I don't know how many MVP awards he has.
5.
Well, yeah, that's because you're a cold sycophant.
Right. But like, I don't know how many Brady has, to be honest. I think I would guess 2. Honestly, I don't know. But I know 7.
I think Brady has 3. Like, I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan there is. I've never thought for a second how many MVP awards Tom Brady has. I know he has 5 Super Bowl MVPs. I know he has 7 Super Bowl rings. Brady has 3. 2007, 2010, and 2017. Just real quickly as an exercise here. I just want to go through some of the all-time greats. Joe Montana, how many MVP awards do you think Joe Montana has?
I'll say three.
He has two. Now, you know how many Super Bowls Joe Montana has?
That's right, four.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. I'll just go one more. Like, we're not going to go through each and every one. But, like, let's go with John Elway. How many MVP awards did John Elway win?
Two.
One. 1987. And he won two rings.
Like, right.
You know the rings more so than the MVP awards. Like, earlier in the show, I said it was four for Rodgers because I looked it up. I would not have known off the top of my head how many MVP awards Aaron Rodgers has. Now, I know later on in the interview he mentioned the Super Bowl, but each and every answer matters. And that, to me, him talking about, yeah, I still think I could win the MVP if put in the right situation. Well, let me ask you this. And I think Rodgers is a great quarterback. But if you are this great quarterback and you still think you could win the MVP, and I know situation does matter, but shouldn't you be able to bare minimum in a down year in the NFC? I'm not asking you to go in a Super Bowl this year. I'm not going to ask you to reach for the stars with this roster. But you should have been able, if in your mind, if you still think you could be an MVP, regardless of the situation, in the NFC this year, take a team to the playoffs, Icky.
I am. I don't disagree.
So, I don't know. Rodgers, the more and more that this goes on, as great as he is that you don't want to give up on great players, it feels like it is time for the Rodgers era to just end in Green Bay. So if it does end, give me some destinations and we'll look at the possibility of those teams, if I like them or not, for Aaron Rodgers.
Let's start by going backwards to yesterday when JLC joined us talking about how he thinks if a trade does go down, it's going to be more of a salary dump than the Packers trying to get three first-round picks.
Now,
back.
Real quickly, he thinks he's getting traded too this offseason.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that and preface that by saying this. Dolphins do not have a first-round pick. With that said, the Dolphins.
Yeah. I think that would be a good destination. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jaylen Waddle. You got to improve that defense, but I don't think that would be a bad destination.
Staying in that division, another quarterback-needy team, the Jets.
The Jets would love it. I don't think he's going there, though, and winning a Super Bowl. I also don't think he's winning a Super Bowl in Miami. If he goes to any team in the AFC, like, is there a team in the AFC that you think he would get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl with in the AFC when you have standing in your way for the foreseeable future? And let's say Rodgers only plays at most three more years. At most, I don't even know if he's going to make it that far. You got Mahomes. You got Josh Allen. Joe Burrow, just for starters. Those are the three best quarterbacks in the AFC, just for starters. I don't think Rodgers, I don't think there's a landing spot. Like, if you give me Las Vegas, let's say, which reunited with Devontae Adams, they're not winning that division against Kansas City. If he goes to Tennessee, how they'll make the playoffs, they would win the AFC South, I would think, but you're not going to be alive for a Super Bowl. Like, is there a destination out there that he would go and they would win a Super Bowl with?
I would say the Dolphins.
Is that defense good enough, though?
We got to improve it, but that's your best chance in the AFC. That's realistic, of course, as well.
You know where it may be? Now they have to go get a wide receiver. Baltimore's defense is pretty damn good. You got a strong running back in J.K. Dobbins. Now you need a wide receiver in there. But Baltimore would not be the worst destination in the world if they're saying goodbye to Lamar Jackson this offseason.
That'd be quite the whirlwind.
That would be crazy.
Ship off Lamar, get some picks back, ship some of those picks out to Green Bay. That would be a very up and down offseason for the Baltimore Ravens fans, that is for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned it before. What about the Raiders?
Well, see, I think he'd put up numbers there. I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl. But the Raiders, if they don't get Brady, they would definitely be interested in Rodgers.
Titans, are they a Super Bowl caliber
no.
team with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback?
No. No. Playoff team, not Super Bowl caliber.
A lot was made of the man crush and the staring of the eyes between Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago. If he goes to Pittsburgh, and now this is, I will say, very unrealistic, but let's just get
crazy.
Because
I don't think they're saying goodbye to Kenny Pickett.
Let's get nuts. Is that a Super Bowl team in Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers?
Got a good defense. The line needs to be improved. I like Najee Harris. Pat Freiermuth. You got Pickens. I think it's a team that gets to that could get to an AFC title game. That's the way that I would say it. I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl.
If he's trading the NFC, what about the Commanders? Are they a Super Bowl team in the NFC?
I'll tell you. That would I think they could be right in the conversation to go win the NFC East. If you put Rodgers with the Commanders with McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Robinson, and the defense, if it plays to their potential, that's a team in a weak NFC. Now, it's a tough division because Philly's going nowhere. You expect Dallas to be going nowhere. Can the Giants continue? We shall see. But that would be one heck of a division.
Plus, you know, Ron Rivera's not shy about blaming the quarterbacks. If Aaron Rodgers throws like three picks in a game. Ron, what was the reason why you lost? Quarterback. Love to see Aaron Rodgers' response to that one. That Pat McAfee show will be a must watch, that's for sure. What if Tom Brady leaves? What are the Bucks? Are they a Super Bowl team with Aaron Rodgers next year?
If they get it, no, because they would be downgrading at quarterback. I don't trust Rodgers in the big moment.
But you think upgrading injuries when it comes to offensive line.
In terms of that, the offensive line would actually be healthy? Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Once again, I think that's a team that would make to like the divisional round and then be done.
Let's finish with an unrealistic one, but a fun one. What are the Seahawks? They say, Geno, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to go star chasing, and we're going to go from one guy in Russell Wilson being liked to we're going to bring in a real diva.
You got some young talent on that team. I think that'd be a wonderful destination. Just look at the offense. You have Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett. That would be fun. You know what actually would be a great destination, but it would never happen? It's actually inside the division. Like, they got to fix that defense, but Minnesota would be good. And then Detroit would be really good, too. Now, it would never happen inside the division. But both those teams...
go to the Jets first next year. Then he'll be back.
He didn't want to end his career like Brett Favre. Then all of a sudden, he goes to the Jets. And then, okay, I'll go to Minnesota after that or Detroit. That would be something. Let's go down to Philadelphia coming up in 5 minutes when Johnny Marks from Sports Radio 94 WIP and CBS Sports Radio will join us next.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Divisional round weekend almost here in the NFL. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'll be actually making the trip down the turnpike from our New York City studios to be in South Philadelphia this weekend to watch the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the number one overall seed, welcome in an NFC East rival in the New York Football Giants. So let's connect right now with the host of the Afternoon Drive show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And you can also listen to him Saturday into Sunday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And that's my pal, Johnny Marks. Johnny Marks, how you been?
They only give me the great shifts at CBS Sports Radio. I said I want the absolute best shift, and they gave me 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Well, here's the thing. I've actually heard from a little birdie that you preferred to do that shift on the weekends, and I used to do that shift. Now, I wasn't a big successful afternoon drive host. It was a good starting point for my career, but I'm surprised that you're still doing that shift.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, honestly, I've been doing it for a year and a half. No, like, so I have three kids and working all week. You know, doing an afternoon show on Saturday or Sunday is tough. So the only time I could not miss family type stuff and games or whatever was in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping. So, I absolutely love it. I know Ryan does the other the night before, but I love it. It's great. Everybody's listening. I got a good audience going. I know you did it for a while as well. I really like it. I really enjoy it. So it's fun.
The toughest part about that show is just simply staying awake. And I love how you Instagram live and you look so tired, my friend, when you're in the basement.
Yeah, I look terrible. I get people that message me, John, are you okay? And I'm like, just so you know, that's not it's not making me feel better asking me if I'm okay. Well, I am okay. More or less what you're saying is I look like crap. So, but yeah, it's worth it. I enjoy getting up and doing it.
I sometimes wonder when I see the Johnny Marks Instagram live session, if maybe you're doing what potentially Nick Sirianni was doing in that facility that made him order some Pizza Hut. Cause I think Sirianni had the munchies. That's the only reason you ordered Pizza Hut.
Well, listen, the stuffed crust pizza would definitely be a munchy item. If I was under the influence of something, I would probably go stuffed crust before I'd go regular crust. So it's actually good munchy insight from you, Zach.
Yes, and I only know from my time as a student at Temple University, which was the first and last time I ever ordered Pizza Hut down on Broad Street. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Johnny Marks here with us. Alrighty, so let's start with Sirianni. It's kind of crazy how now we talk about him, because just like Doug, when he was hired, this was not a popular hire.
No, because he you know, when he got hired, they called him and said, hey, we want to interview you. And he's like, huh? He was on vacation. He didn't have any clothes for the interview. He had to go to Ross or TJ Maxx to get a suit and then come to the interview, and he got the job, right? So I think he was like kind of pinching himself, being like, is this real? But from that opening press conference that he had where he looked like a deer in the headlights. And I think a lot of people from that press conference were like, well, what the hell? This guy can't come to Philadelphia and be a successful head coach.
Very Adam Gase-like.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, like the eyes of Adam Gase and Nick Sirianni, whatever the hell he was talking about. But he's done a really good job. And this isn't like a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan where you're getting him for him being an offensive genius. He's not calling plays anymore, although he has an offensive coach's background. He was a coordinator, offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. But the guys play for him. The guys like him. He's a tough coach. He's not a pushover. He coaches these guys tough, and he lets the coordinators do their job. And by the way, they have a ton of talent on the team, and talent wins. And he's done a good job managing everything. So it's almost like Sean McDermott's a coach with a defensive background. So he's not making calls on offense or defense. It's kind of what Nick Sirianni's doing as a coach with an offensive background, which isn't normally what happens with head coaches that have an offensive background.
It's a tough question, but who do you think has the coaching advantage on Saturday night? Is it Brian Daboll with the Giants or Nick Sirianni with the Eagles?
It's a really good question, and being that Sirianni actually has head coaching experience in the NFL and was in a playoff game last year that he lost, and Daboll, this is the first time that he is an NFL head coach. You know, I would probably still say Daboll just because he has, being the offensive play caller and being the head coach and seeing what he's done to turn around. If Joe Judge is the coach of the Giants this year, they probably have 4 or 5 wins. So to see the actual first year influence and directly how he changed the organization, it feels like Daboll against Sirianni. Like, all right, like Daboll is like, he's, I consider him more of an offensive genius than Nick Sirianni. But then also with Wink Martindale, the fact that you have a guy that has seen so much, and this is a playoff game, and I'm sure he's been studying what the Eagles and Jalen Hurts do on offense, and I'm sure he's got a game plan coming in that's going to try to stifle what the Eagles do.
I listen to you a bunch, and I know a lot of Eagles fans, and you got to be mad about something even when it's a year where they're the number one overall seed, have been bitching about Jonathan Gannon, and then you hear about him maybe becoming a head coach this offseason as well. Where's the Eagle fan confidence in their defensive coordinator entering the postseason?
Like you said, let's Jonathan Gannon could get a head coaching job. Let's drive him to Houston, right? I hate him. I chalk it up to this being a blue-collar town that had Buddy Ryan in the 80s and the early 90s, that had Jim Johnson, who was the coordinators of those good Eagles teams in the 2000s, and they liked the blitz, and they liked to get after the quarterback, and they were creative in how they liked to do it. And Jonathan Gannon is very much a 2023 defensive coordinator. They're not doing a lot of blitzing. They're playing a lot of, keep everything in front of you, and we're going to let you make a mistake, or we're going to try to hold you to a field goal, you're not going to make big plays over the top of us. And it feels like that's how a lot of defensive coordinators play it these days. And Jonathan Gannon does that. But what Eagles fans need to, I think, take a step back and look at is that this team has been really good defensively this year. They've set NFL records in some sack categories. They've set team records in sack categories. And if you just look across the board, this is the best defense the Eagles have had in years.
Yeah, I went to college with Hassan Reddick. I love Hassan Reddick, and I know how good of a player he can be. That was not a move that, it barely got any national recognition, yeah. And I still feel as if it's flying under the radar. He's been awesome.
The three-year contract. He had 16 sacks. The Eagles last year had 29 sacks as a team. Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks this year. I mean, think about that. 55% of the sacks they had last year, Hassan Reddick had this year. So, and that also has now a trickle-down effect to where Brandon Graham doesn't have to play as many snaps in defensive end. He's more of a rotational guy now. He's fresher. He has double-digit sacks. Same thing with Josh Sweat, who had double-digit sacks. And then Javon Hargrave in the middle as a defensive tackle. Four players had double-digit sacks on the Eagles. They had 29 sacks as a team last year, so it's pretty crazy the year-to-year. When you sign a defensive end like Hassan Reddick to a three-year contract, and he's making some money, but it's not a $100 million contract, you get 16 sacks a year one out of that free agent contract. That is a win.
So there was a lot of optimism with this team. I said it right at the draft when they traded for A.J. Brown, Johnny Marks, that the Eagles were going to win the division. I had Brandon Graham on right after they abused Carson Wentz at FedEx Field, and they sacked him like 9,000 times. And he said on the air that day that he thinks this team this year, and this was earlier in the year, is better than the team that won the Super Bowl. For you, when did you realize this team was special, maybe even better than what people were giving credit for?
And I was very much 9-8 team. Like, I was not high on the Eagles this year. I still thought they were a borderline playoff team, but the success they had last year running the football and then what they look like against Tampa in the playoffs last year, Jalen Hurts needed to take the next step. He needed to become a much better passer for this team to be better. And I thought with the offseason and being how defensive coordinators will now plan for the Eagles and now will game plan for what Jalen Hurts does well, Hurts was going to have to become a much better passer, and he did. And it's all the credit to him. He has earned – he's going to make a lot of money. The Eagles are going to end up giving him a new contract, and he's earned it. I guess this is this team is so well balanced. The offense is very good. The defense is very good. Special teams is kind of like not great, but it feels like that doesn't matter in these days. The kicker's good. And they can beat you in a variety of ways. And Jalen Hurts' injury scared me a little bit because he had 13 rushing touchdowns this year. But more than anything, it opened up the running game for the rest of the guys. Without the threat of Jalen Hurts keeping the ball himself and running, the running backs weren't the same. In Gardner Minshew's games, they tried to run the ball. The two games that he started, they couldn't run the ball because they weren't worried about Gardner Minshew running the ball. So Jalen is so important in the run game and the passing game. And I like the reason why the Eagles right now, they have a very good team. The biggest reason why is because of Jalen Hurts.
Where is he actually at in terms of health? I saw they took him off the injury report, but where would you put that out of 100% how healthy he actually is?
Yeah, I was talking to Ryan about this before I came on, and I think I started at 90, and then I got down to 80, and then now I'm thinking actually 70%. So I don't think that you're going to see much of a change in the game plan, right? Like the game they played, the last regular season game they played against the Giants, he wasn't running the ball. When he did run the ball, he clearly was going down, or he was making sure he wasn't taking on contact. He had a rather significant injury. I think at this point, he's as healthy as you can hope that he's going to be for this game. Do I think that you still want to put him out there at risk and have him taking big shots? No, because the worry about re-injury is really there. But I think they are going to open up the offense, and you're going to see some Jalen Hurts in the running game this week.
When they went to the Super Bowl a few years ago and obviously won it, we knew how electric that stadium was up against the Falcons, and then the Vikings game was an absolute party. I know the NFC this year has not been the strongest in the world. I think that home field advantage is so massive, but do you still look at the Eagles as the favorite, or do you start to lean towards the Niners?
I want to see what San Francisco and Purdy looks like this week. He has been great, but that was also at home, so he's really passed every test. But I want to see what he looks like against the Cowboys. And then you're still going to have in the back of your mind, like, what does he look like in Philly when he comes in front of this crowd? It's a big game. Obviously, NFC Championship game. I would think it's almost like dead even, because the Eagles do have the home field advantage, but the Eagles are kind of limping into the playoffs, and the 49ers, we know that they're not limping into the playoffs. They look great in the second half, at least last week. And you know, as much as Purdy's Mr. Irrelevant and he's a rookie quarterback, he sure as hell doesn't look like it when you watch the game. So with Kyle Shanahan and with those offensive weapons, they're dangerous. For me, it comes down to how the Eagles' offense looks, because the defense is going to be the defense, and it's a matter of can the Eagles' offense keep up with everybody else.
I'm glad you brought up Dallas, because I call the Cowboys the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, but I'm starting to feel as if they could get to that NFC title game. I think they're very much alive for this game up against the Niners.
Yeah, I agree. And, I know the line dipped down to 3.5 points, so there's obviously some thought that the Cowboys can win this. Again, this is a quarterback thing. Dak Prescott, for all the talk of Jerry Jones, we need to run the ball, and the formula for when Cooper Rush was in there was to run the ball and play defense, and that's what we need to do when he comes back. They need Dak Prescott to play like he played against the Bucs if they're going to beat the 49ers. So do you believe Dak can do that? I would bet no, but it's certainly not out of the possibilities.
Johnny Marks, a few more before we let you run, from CBS Sports Radio, obviously, and then Sports Radio 94 WIP. Outside of Jalen Hurts and how healthy he actually is, what's your biggest concern entering this game up against the Giants?
Well, if you look at two games from last weekend, the Dolphins and the Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens, both were similar games in that it is division rival. The Dolphins clearly were the lesser talented team. They had more or less a practice squad quarterback in Skylar Thompson starting for them. And meanwhile, the Bills were fortunate to win the game, right? Like, Buffalo clearly the better team, more talented, but it was a very close game. And then same thing with Cincinnati and Baltimore. Cincinnati's lucky to win that game. If that's not a fumble recovery right there, I think they lose the game. So now you fast forward to the Eagles and the Giants, division rival, very familiar with each other. And I think you're going to see a similar game to where this is going to be a nail biter in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. I still give the Eagles the edge because they have the talent edge and they're the better team. And Jalen Hurts with the ball in his hands at the end of the fourth quarter, or towards the end of the fourth quarter, he's been the man this year. He comes up big in big spots. But I don't even think it's a letdown type game. The Giants are playing well right now. The Giants kind of have that look, right? Like, and they're coming down. They're coming down 95, and they don't have, like, there's no pressure on them. They're playing with house money. Like, they're going to play loose and carefree, and they're going to come down and try to kick the Eagles' ass. And that's a dangerous team. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Eagles end up prevailing in the end.
I think the Eagles are going to win the game, but I do think it's close. I would plus the 7.5 right now. But everyone going into this game, when they look at the Giants, is going to be talking about Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. The matchup I'm most excited for is Dexter Lawrence up against this Eagles offensive line, because Dexter Lawrence, to me, is the Giants' best player and most dominant player.
Yeah, and I think getting pushed from up the middle with Jalen Hurts is important because it gets him off his spot, right? Like, we know Jalen's good at running and he's good at throwing on the run, but if you're coming in from the ends and you give him a crease in the middle of the field, he takes off and he gets big gains. If Dexter Lawrence is getting penetration, that's trouble for the Eagles. And he has looked like one of the better defensive players in football.
Before we let you run, Johnny Marks, Daniel Jones, your evaluation on him, because I'm looking at it as a guy that's winning with not a lot of talent around him.
Oh, totally agree. I actually said before the season to one of my overnight weekend producers, who is a Giant fan, I said the best case scenario from my perspective is Daniel Jones plays well enough and then cons the Giants into giving him a contract. Now, I don't know if he's conning the Giants into a contract, but he certainly earned a contract. It just shows you how important coaching is in the NFL. And you go from Joe Judge to Brian Daboll, and now he actually says, I know how to use that guy. It's a matter of what does he look like when you give him real offensive weapons. Everybody wants Lamar Jackson to be a better passer. Look at his wide receivers. Everybody wanted Tua to be a better passer. You give him Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, look how he excels. Same thing with Jalen Hurts. They had a rookie Devontae Smith last year, but they add A.J. Brown to it. Devontae takes that next step, and they look like a great passing team. So adding weapons to Daniel Jones, I think you're going to see returns of that when you do that.
You can listen to him right here on CBS Sports Radio Saturdays into Sundays, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. You can also catch him 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday on the Odyssey app on Sports Radio 94 WIP. That is Johnny Marks. You going to the game, by the way?
No, it's the last place I'd be is that game.
You're really not going?
No, I don't like the
wow,
great games.
I'm
I
surprised.
Like the
Big Shot Afternoon Drive host in Philadelphia. I thought you'd be holding court at the link.
Well, but I'm doing, like, I got to go on 2 a.m. I got to get ready for my CBS Sports Radio show.
You could have a few pops and then do the show then. You'll be fine.
I guess I could, Zach.
Johnny Marks, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right, there's John Marks from Sports Radio 94 WIP. Marco Belletti is here. We go from the man representing Philadelphia to the man that can't stand Philadelphia and is a big-time fan of the New York Football Giants. You said the last 2 days, 65% confidence that the Giants are going to beat the Eagles. Is that number staying put, or is it increasing or decreasing?
So far, again, it's only Wednesday. We're going to stay put at 65.
Now, just a little advice here. Wait. For the sake of the segment the next 2 days, we may need you to go up or down in the number.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know me long enough, right?
Yeah.
I understand the idea of the radio and the bit and all that.
You don't keep the public
no,
pressure.
No, no, no. You also know that I'm very honest.
Yes.
And I will, if I feel something, I'm quick to tell you. If I don't, I'm also quick to say it.
So naturally, as a fan, whenever you go into any game thinking you have a chance or not, you talk yourself into them winning or you talk yourself into losing. Since
right.
You, from the start, said they're going to win and you think it's at 65%, has at all any doubt started to creep into that glorious cabeza of yours?
The only thing is the health of Jalen Hurts, because I do think a lot of this, I mean, I'm not dumb. I'm not sitting here and telling you that the Giants are a better football team than the Eagles.
Yeah.
They are not. You know, but it's not about that. It's not about whether you're better. It's about whether you're going to play better on the day and mm-hmm. what's going on with the circumstances. Part of why I felt this way was I felt the Eagles had peaked, and they're also beat up, and a lot of that is Jalen Hurts. So as I'm hearing during the week, and just hearing John Marks saying, you know, he went from 90 to 70.
Yeah.
I feel like as the week's going on, we're getting more and more of the idea that Hurts is, yeah, he's playing, but he's not himself. If he's playing and he's not himself, and he's the guy that we saw in week 18,
the game.
To me, then that number, you go from 65, I'm going to go up to 80. Because I don't think that the Eagles, without a healthy Jalen Hurts, are going to win this game. Because I think it's tight regardless. I think these teams know each other. I think they're going to play tough. I think both teams have played well. I just don't see how the Giants with a lesser Jalen Hurts, with the way they have looked, I don't see how the Eagle offense is going to be as scary as it was, whatever it was, 2 months ago when they played each other. I don't buy it.
We'll take a break here on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the closing bell next. I'll also squeeze in Nick and Scott on the other side.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught! Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's end the show out on the phones. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Scott in California, who is still, I guess, sitting shiva about his Minnesota Vikings as their season comes to a close. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Zach, I'm still kind of licking some wounds, but I'm okay. Thanks for taking the call.
I'm actually wearing a black T-shirt for you today, Scott, because I'm still at the Vikings funeral.
You know what? I gotta say, you had some kind notes earlier when you said if the Vikings can improve our defense, we might be a good team. And that's the rudimentary you know, but it's truly, truly important, right? Because our defense was bad. And as a Viking fan, like I told you the other day, we knew it. We didn't expect to go to Arizona this year. But like I said, I had to back
I don't know,
up.
Scott. But, I don't know. Some of your phone calls would suggest otherwise, but I get it. You were defending your team. there was a lot of Super Bowl Scott calls that I remember on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm not trying to back wheel or anything like that, but, you know, we get excited. We've been there four times and lost every time. And, with you know, the Bills person that you have also on your network, also 4-0 on that team. And so I've been, like, I don't know. But anyway, my point today is, I don't know if you have kids, Zach, but I have three kids. I'm older. What happens is you have kids and they're Viking fans. They have to be. You know, they grow up and they have the horns on their head, and then they get married. I have two girls and they're married. So now, right now, I'm in a pickle because I have a Cowboys daughter and a Niners daughter. So I have to go to that game this weekend and sit in that living room with those two families and watch that game, which I think is going to be funny.
Well, Scott, this is what I would do. I would get a nice big bowl of popcorn, just put a lot of butter on it, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. That's what I would do if I'm you.
And just stay out of it. Yeah, because I have no, yeah.
I think you instigate. I think you instigate. If the Niners make a big play, you say something disparaging about the Cowboys. If the Cowboys make a big play, you kind of grind the gears of the Niners.
No, I have to shut up. Yeah, you're right.
Nah, I would be stirring up the pot, Scott. That's what I'd be doing. Thanks for the phone call, Scott, in California. Like, Hickey, if your team lost in embarrassing fashion the week before or in devastating fashion the week before, and then you're going to, let's say, your family's house, and it's one a Niners fan and one a Cowboys fan, you're not just sitting there not providing any content. I think you're trying to get your frustration out on everyone else, and whoever is losing, you're wanting them to join your misery and just kind of get them to freak out and go berserk.
Wow, Dak Prescott threw a pick. Brock Purdy would never, am I right?
Hate Jeez. To see it, man.
Sheesh.
Is Jerry going to trade Dak after the game? Oh, Brock Purdy. Big game Brock. Look at him. Let's go to Nick in Sacramento next up on the Zach Gilb Show. Nick, what say you?
Well, just real quick, I got to get it out. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. I've been here 28 years because I met my wife who's in the Bay Area. But, you know, hey, thanks for taking my call. I love your show, Zach.
Appreciate it.
Happy New Year to you and your family. You know, real quick, I'm going to give you the lighter note first and then my serious call. I think Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, here's what's going to happen. I think the Atlanta Falcons come calling, maybe the Seahawks, like you said earlier. You're going to have them both go to the same team, either or whoever. You're going to have Brady being the finisher. You're going to have the first two quarters being Rodgers. And you're going to have them both on the same team, and they can both hold their family courts. They can have their psychological impact on each other. And all the wellness will come out, and everything. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a complete moron, okay? And let me tell you why. Ever since he did this whole fake vaccination thing, I guess karma got him, as a young generation says, 52 years old. How did I say that? Got him? I got it right? I don't know. So I guess what I'm getting at now is, let's get to the serious talk. I think it's going to be the Eagles and the Bills in the Super Bowl. I think the Giants are going to hold that game tight against against the Eagles. You know, but I think what we're going to have to really see this weekend, and you're probably going to fall out of your chair and say, Nick, you're nuts. I'm really not, but I think the Jaguars are going to go to Kansas City, and they're going to regroup, and they're going to get – and I can't stand the Jaguars, but I think they're going to give them fits. I don't know how or what. Huh?
I said, wow, that's a bold prediction. If you think the Jaguars are going there and winning the game, that's pretty bold.
Well, I mean, I just feel something's going to happen with that game. I don't. I mean, if they win or they take it down to the final call, and then, of course, the referees might screw it up again, and we'll have a meltdown by somebody on the sideline, like a Bosa moment. I mean, I don't know. I would love to see some drama. That last week was great, but I think the Bills are kind of destined. That's going to be an interesting game.
We appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. I'm up against it, and I got to run because we only got a minute left in the show. But, Hickey, what an idea. I wish Nick could call back tomorrow because I would love to ask him, how did you come up with the idea that Brady and Rodgers go to the same place? Rodgers plays the first half, then Brady plays the second half.
I love it. I love it. Tom Brady can leave early. Remember, he's supposed to have his personal days on Wednesday. Now he can take all the time during the week. Rodgers... I'm with Nick. Can't close the game out.
That's a
clear
good
cap space for your team right now and go make a run for both of them.
And you know Brady's willing to take less.
That's true. Maybe Aaron Rodgers do the same. He goes, oh, you know, I'll play half the game. Actually, I don't know.
Would you even count that as a ring for Rodgers if he's not finishing the
game? Oh, he would count it. He would count it as a ring.
I should win the MVP. Now we're starting to sound like Brandon Staley. First half MVP goes to Aaron Rodgers. Second half MVP goes to Tom Brady. All right, we'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to everyone for joining us. Coach Carousel on the phones too. Johnny Marks as well. Talk tomorrow, everybody. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.